It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, to proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Wonderful words to call us to worship this morning. We are glad to be here with you again and aware that many of you are like us, zooming in from home, while others are actually in the steeple building and joining us by Zoom. We are pleased to be with you all. Last week, our United Reformed Church service was broadcast from a church in Dunfermline. And being in level one, the congregation were able to remove their masks and actually sing. I'm only sorry that I can't ask you to raise the roof as we join in our opening praise. And just that our thoughts are with all those for whom this increase in cases in the Dundee region has brought more sadness and anxiety. But we are here to bring our worship. Let us open our praise by singing, "For the fruits of all creation, thanks be to God. For these gifts to every nation, thanks be to God." Let's sing. Be to God that we are able to sing our praise. Thanks be to God that love indeed has found us. And we now bring in our in words of prayer our adoration and our confession. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, we rejoice to be as one in your great human family on earth and in heaven, invited by you into your holy presence to worship and adore you as the rainbow people of God. We approach you this morning, holy God, the God who keeps the mystery of divinity, but shows us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, what it is to be divinely human. We adore you, Creator God, who has made each of us according to your plan. We come from far and wide, with ease and at great cost, with hope and concern to apply ourselves to heed your call. We draw near to you, understanding God. Help us not to covet yesterday, but to dream of a new tomorrow, so that all might be welcome in your community of faith, so that the whole world may know your love. We look upon you, tender God, the God who keeps loving us despite our failures. We bow our hearts and minds in humility, trusting in your forgiveness, leaning on your promise of welcome. For we need you, loving God, now more than ever. Lover of all, we come to you, conscious of our need of you and of one another, with a wish to play our part in your mission, and yet recognizing our own frailties. And so we ask that by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. This we pray through our Lord Jesus Christ, and join our prayers together in the prayer he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now invite Katie Emslie-Smith to give us our reading from this morning, which is taken from Ezekiel chapter 17. Thank you, Katie.
This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. Birds of every kind will nest in it. They will find shelter in the shade of its branches. All the trees of the forest will know that I, the Lord, bring down the tall tree and make the low tree grow tall. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, you are the Lord of light. In you there is no darkness at all. Dispel the darkness of our ignorance and unbelief by the radiance of your word. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. For some of us who watched the opening game of the Euros football competition, we saw a spectacular firework display set to operatic music. That led me to wonder where fireworks come from and how did the custom of letting off fireworks begin? Well, fireworks were invented in China when the scientists discovered gunpowder. And from this discovery came the concept of fireworks. The ancient Chinese people were very superstitious, and they believed that fire could disperse evil spirits. And sparks were a good omen, they thought, a good indication of the future. Loud sounds, they believed, would frighten away ghosts, and smoke was good for your health. And so the ancient Chinese, they used fireworks, and this thought they were the perfect thing. All the fiery noise would chase away the spirits and ghosts, and the sparks and smoke would make you healthy. Indeed, Chinese kings were even given fireworks as a form of tribute. Today, Chinese people set off fireworks to express their happiness and to invite good luck into their lives. During one of my visits to Sarawak, it coincided with the eve of the Chinese New Year. And going back home at midnight, all of a sudden, the air filled with noise. Chinese firecrackers were being set off all over the place, thrown in the air and passed around hand to hand. There was no fear there. And then along the river, when the noise faded, you could not see the other side. It was full of smoke. And today, in our reading, the prophet Ezekiel talks about something similar to fireworks. And here's the comparison. With fireworks, it's always amazing to me that one of those little rockets can give off so much light and so much noise. One little rocket, it doesn't seem like much as it sits in the box. There doesn't seem to be much of it at all. But wait and see. When it's lit and hurtles into the air, it lights up the night sky and gives off a boom that you can hear for miles. Today, the prophet Ezekiel talks about something that seems small, seems insignificant. But wait and see. It becomes something much greater than you would ever expect. What Ezekiel is talking about is the kingdom of God. He compares the kingdom of God to a tiny little stalk. God plants that stalk, and it doesn't look like much as it sits on top of a high mountain. But you must wait and see. Eventually, it becomes the greatest, most amazing tree in all the world. Today, God teaches us about his kingdom and how he works. God does things that seem small in our eyes to begin with, but the things that God does turn out to be the greatest, most amazing things we could ever imagine. So today, as we focus on this picture that the Old Testament prophet paints for us, we can learn two lessons about God's kingdom. Lesson number one. Why we are sometimes unimpressed by God and his works. And lesson number two, learn why we can be impressed by God and his work. Firstly, God says, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of a cedar and plant it. I will break off a tender sprig from its topmost shoots and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. God describes himself as a gardener planting a tree. He plants a small shoot into a high mountain. God finishes his work and brushes off his hands and walks away. It doesn't look like much, just a small green stalk sitting by itself on top of a high mountain. Not very impressive. What God is talking about here is Christ and the Christian church. When Jesus was born, he didn't look like much. A tiny baby born to a poor Middle Eastern family. And as Jesus carried out his ministry, he didn't look like much. Sometimes he would perform a miracle. But most of the time, he talked about things that people didn't care about. He talked about repentance and faith and a life to come. And when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't look like much. very unimpressive as he died between two common criminals on a Friday afternoon. His early followers didn't look like much either. A group of fishermen who didn't fit in with the rest of society. One needs to wait and see. Today, you and I may be tempted to look at Christ, to look at God's church and think to ourselves, I'm not impressed. This doesn't look like much to me. We look at our world today and often there are times when it's hard to see the greatness of Christ. We look at the state of Christianity in our world today with all its problems and it's sometimes hard to see the greatness of Christ. We may even look at our own lives, all our own problems, and it's hard to see the greatness of Christ. We need to wait and see. The secret to seeing God's greatness is focusing on the things we cannot see and focusing on the future. The prophet Ezekiel told Israel to focus on the future, something they could not see. And there they found God's greatness. On the mountain heights of Israel, I will plant it. It will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. God is talking about Christ and his kingdom here. Someday it will grow, God says. Birds of every kind will nest in it. God is talking about people here. People of every kind will become a part of God's kingdom. People from all over the world, every nation, every background, every kind of personality, and every social status. Look to the future, Ezekiel told the people of Israel, and you will see the greatness of God's kingdom. And then they will find shelter in the shade of its branches. If you were a bird, this would be a driving force in your life to find shelter. This is why some birds try to make their way into roof spaces. That is why birds like trees. There's shade there. There's shelter there. You can find relief from the hot sun and the driving rainstorms and the cold winds in the branches of those trees. And in the same way, friends, God says people will come and find spiritual shelter in Christ. Shelter from fear, shelter from uncertainty, shelter from despair. A number of years ago, a colleague described to me how he and his wife were blessed with twin daughters. But immediately after having the twins, his wife was stricken with cancer. And during that time, all kinds of doubts and questions and fears began to rain down on him. Where did that man find shelter when the world was crashing down around him? He was a Christian, and so he focused on something he could not see, the promises of God. That was his shelter. He didn't try to solve his problems himself. He looked to God, and God, through his word, sheltered him from despair and anger and fear. God was his shelter. When fireworks are set off at night, it doesn't look like much to begin with. A small dot sailing up into the night sky. But when it reaches its peak and it explodes with a loud bang, the dark sky is filled with a beautiful colour and design. All from one small firework. When we first meet Jesus, he doesn't look like much. When we first have contact with his word, it may not seem like much to us. But wait and see. After dying, he rises from the dead. The Holy Spirit works in our heart, and that's when the fireworks begin. We begin to believe that this man, Jesus, is God. We realize that his death wasn't such a sad injustice. It wasn't just a sad injustice. It was all part of a master plan designed to take away our sins. And someday when we look into the sky, we will see something far greater than the greatest of all firework displays. We will see Christ coming again in all his glory, with all the saints and angels behind him, coming to take us to be with him forever. This portion of God's word teaches us that if we want to be impressed by God, then we shall have to wait and see. We should not focus on life's troubles that we see and experience here and now. Rather, we need to focus instead on God's word and let the Holy Spirit show us what Christ has done for us. Look at what Christ has promised to us, and look at what Christ has waiting for us. Things may seem small now, but wait, God says, and you will see. God surrounds us with trees, not just to give us shade, but to remind us of his kingdom. Every tree starts out as a tiny shoot, but grows into the great tree that we may see out of our window. And so it is with God's kingdom. It doesn't seem like much now, but wait and see. God says, wait and see. The fireworks are coming. Amen. And I now invite Elspeth to lead us in the prayers of intercession.
Heavenly Father, we depend on you. Thank you that you hear and answer prayer. Help us as we wait for your answers. We pray for world leaders. We pray for the Queen and thank you for her example of faith in you and her years of service. We pray for the leaders at the G7 summit. Please guide them, especially in the huge matters of vaccine sharing, climate change, the economy and the situation in Northern Ireland. We pray too for Nicola Sturgeon and the Scottish Parliament. We again ask you for a way to peace in Syria, Yemen and Afghanistan, and for peace between Israelis and Palestinians. We plead with you about conflicts in Africa, which have led to catastrophic food shortages. We pray for Steve and Katrina and their family in Rwanda. Thank you for the success of their anaesthesia students. Specifically, Lord, the hospital needs a Rwandan surgeon and more staff for the recovery room in the operating theatres. Please guide them, Steve and Katrina, in the decisions and logistics of their return to the UK this year. We also pray for Adam and Laura and their family in Uganda. We pray for all the project management decisions, for the building sites, and for the engineering interns who come for experience. We pray for the churches and people of Rwanda and Uganda, especially as cases of COVID are rising. Closer to home, we pray for Barbara and the parish nursing team, for Dave and Caris and the hot chocolate team, John and Sarah and the Connections Cafe team, Piers and Maureen and the Friends International team. And we pray for all those to whom these teams reach out in the name of Jesus. We also pray for our session clerk, Tom, and the various steeple teams, particularly as they make decisions about reopening the church buildings. We pray for the nominating committee, Please guide them clearly, step by step. We also pray for Robert and Leslie Ann in their transition. We pray for those we know who are living with ill health. Please give them special encouragement. You know each one and their particular needs. We lift up to you those in our congregation, city, and nation who are grieving the loss of loved ones. Thank you for your sure promise of eternal life because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Thank you, God, that your kingdom is coming and this world will be transformed. You are at work. You are trustworthy. And your love never fails. Amen. Amen. Our next hymn will be, At the Name of Jesus, Every Knee Shall Bow.
We go out to love and serve the Lord. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you love, this day and always. Amen.